And welcome back to the Tune In Podcast.
Go. We're back.
We are back. We are so back for another episode today. We're going back to our normal roots. We've been doing a couple retro jazz episodes, but we're going just back to our normal format today for some current jazz news, talking about the jazz. But definitely check out our last episode where we talked about the 2007 Game 7 Jazz versus Rockets. With Booz and Darren Williams. But how's your week been, Braden?
Oh, man, it's been so good. It's so fun to have sports back. I know we said that last week, but college football's been hot. NFL, my fantasy team is 2-0. Feeling pretty good, so.
My fantasy team is 0-3.
Oh, no, it happens to everybody.
I know, it sucks. Last week, I had my best week point-wise, but the other guy just had his best week, too.
Yeah,
so.
You got to get lucky in fantasy. That's really what it's about.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, super fun.
Well, we got a lot of things to talk about today. We're talking a little bit of jazz news with some extensions and contracts. We're talking about one of the blockbuster moves that just happened last night involving the New York Knicks. And then we're going to get into our top 25 players in the NBA and look forward to seeing where we place your favorite guys.
Yes, don't forget to check us out. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube. The list keeps getting longer where you can find us. You can also find us on Instagram at Tuned In Jazz. You're not going to want to miss our historic episodes like Andrew mentioned that we did last week and we did one a couple weeks before that. Go back and check those. And this is episode 44 of Tuned In Jazz.
All right, so we got a couple jazz updates this week.
These are good jazz updates, too.
It's been very quiet, as it should be. We haven't gotten into preseason or training camp or anything yet, but it's what, like less than a month away from NBA basketball?
Yeah, that's exciting. So I think we're a couple weeks away from preseason. Yeah,
we're starting to think about it a little bit more.
Yeah.
But Will Hardy received an extension, or he exercised an option or something where he'll be with us through the 2026-2027 season.
Yeah. Great move by the Jazz. I think it's tough to put a coach in the situation we're putting Will Hardy in. So I'm glad the Jazz gave him the benefit of the doubt. We'll continue to give him the benefit of the doubt for the time being. Because so far he's shown to be a good coach. So he's winning when we shouldn't be winning. So.
Yeah, I think it definitely seems like a place where even if we don't have great players on the team, Coach Hardy's going to try and win as many games as possible.
Absolutely.
As you should as a coach. And so I like that. And I think that he has a lot of potential to continue to improve as he's younger. And I like how the Jazz haven't coach hopped like a lot of these other teams. Like how many coaches has LeBron had on the Lakers.
So bad.
And so it's nice to have a familiar face and somebody that's been there for a little while. So.
Yeah. Jazz really are doing all of this the right way, you know, if there is a right way. But one thing I do think I'd want to see from Coach Hardy moving forward is just like a little bit more focus on development. I'm sure he's been doing a lot of that behind the scenes, but just waiting so long to play guys and
Taylor Hendricks last year.
It's been a little frustrating. And, so I guess that's the only thing I would hope to see from him, but I think he's doing a great job.
Yeah, I think his biggest strength is definitely like his X's and O's and defense and offensive schemes.
He knows
and just it's the smart of being really smart when it comes to basketball.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I think he could definitely improve with giving these young guys a chance to to play and to learn and maybe even spend a lot of time with them one-on-one when he has that opportunity. And so that's really what I, as a Jazz fan, that's really what I'm looking forward this season is seeing these young guys improve their games throughout the season.
Absolutely. And the big news dropped last night. Depressing. I didn't see a Woj bomb about it, but
a Shams bomb,
a Shams shimmer or something, whatever you want to call it. The big purr cat traded to the New York Knicks. I believe he's from New Jersey.
Okay.
Kind of a homecoming a little bit. Quite the same, I guess, but he was probably a Knicks fan, maybe. traded for Julius Randle and I believe Dante DiVincenzo.
Yep.
I believe. So the Knicks weren't really that committed to the Villanova Knicks, which it makes sense for Cat.
The Timberwolves also get a 2025 top 13 projected first round pick.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who do you think won this trade?
Kind of That's a great question. Okay, so I mean, obviously, we won't know the answer to that until a couple more years where we can really see what Kat ends up doing for the Knicks or vice versa, what Julius Randle ends up doing for the Timberwolves. But just based off one night of sleeping on this trade, I would say that the New York Knicks won this trade.
Interesting.
Because I think that Karl-Anthony Towns puts them into a better spot for contention than it would have been with Julius Randle. He can play a lot better off the ball on offense and space the floor a lot better than Julius Randle. And I think that this move just kind of shows Knicks fans and the rest of the Eastern Conference that the Knicks are trying to win. And they're trying to make a deep playoff run this year. And then on the side of the Timberwolves, I think they're not trying to... It seems like this move means they're not trying to make a deep run again.
Yeah.
I'm confused. It just seems like more of a to-save-money type of move.
Yeah, definitely. I kind of think both teams won this trade. I think the obvious, like you're saying, I think the Knicks are locked and loaded, ready to make a playoff run. I think that they have like a 2-year, maybe 3-year window because they can't pay all of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Mikal Bridges and him and Jalen Brunson.
Brunson took a pay cut recently.
That's true.
Everybody's got, and Anobi's locked up.
That's true. But he did sign a pretty big contract.
Yeah.
Eventually their cap's going to be a little dry, but I have a sneaking suspicion that Julius Randle's going to be kind of a nice fit. I think overall, like when I look at the Timberwolves, I think they fit a little better now. Like, even if it kind of worked last year, the Cat Gobert thing just never, it just doesn't work. So if you're really confident in Gobert on that team, which, you know, I'm a Gobert guy, but I still don't know if I like him.
I mean,
on that
you
team,
traded all your picks for him, so you kind of have
to make it work. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think he fits better with Anthony Edwards and Gobert on the floor. And Dante DiVincenzo is a good depth piece. I don't think he's a bad.
Yeah,
he's an
he could
NBA
probably
player.
Be like a sixth or seventh man, or absolutely. Maybe sneak into the starting lineup sometimes if there's an injury.
Yeah, absolutely. Great 3-point shooter, decent defender, got a lot of heart. So I have a sneaking suspicion that by the end of this, we'll be looking at the Wolves thinking this was a really good trade. But right now, it's looking like the Knicks kind of robbed them just a little bit. But
yeah, I think the hardest thing for the Timberwolves for me is that, like you said, Gobert and Towns didn't work at first.
No.
Like the first year after they traded for Gobert, they were pretty bad together.
Yeah.
But last year, it felt like they improved a lot, and that was just over one season. And so I was thinking, okay, they had 2 seasons now together. Mm-hmm. The third season might be even better.
Yeah.
Who knows? Well, now we'll never know. And so I was thinking they were starting to figure out how to play together, but now you have to start all over again with Julius Randle.
Yeah, that's a good
point.
And
he's going to have to figure out how to play with Gobert. And so I'm kind of, that's my concern with the Timberwolves. But of course, this does help them a lot financially. And Julius Randle's still an all-NBA guy a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So no slouch on him. And DiVincenzo, like you said, he's going to be a fantastic piece for any team.
Yeah, that's actually a great point. I mean, like, I guess both of these teams kind of made more runs last year. Knicks not as much, but they were still in contention for the East. So it's like, why would you break it or fix it if it's not broken? I guess the Knicks may be a little different because they did lose some key guys like Hartenstein.
Right.
They're reloading a little. Wolves didn't seem like they needed to, but I'm wondering if there's more to that story than we know. I'm guessing there probably is, but
yeah. But we'll see who wins the trade after a couple of years.
Yeah,
because these guys could do great, could do bad, could be injuries. Yeah, we have no idea. But that's kind of our initial thoughts.
Yeah, I think the next biggest question we need to answer is: will Derrick Rose get his jersey retired in the Delta Center?
Oh,
former Jazz man retires. What a career. For real.
Oh, yes.
Do you think... I've seen some debates on this online. I think we've talked about this before, but do you think Derrick Rose will be in the Hall of Fame someday?
Man, that's so hard.
It's a tough one.
I would say it's a toss-up for me.
Yeah.
But, like, there's a lot of guys in the Hall of Fame from, like, before we were born, like, the 70s and 60s that, like, I think Derrick Rose is better than them.
Yeah.
But then again, I don't want to just let everybody into the Hall of Fame.
It's so true.
I don't want to answer. How about that?
Yeah.
Because it might be like flipping a coin for me.
Yeah. I think if you're looking at body of work, it's really hard to make the argument. But I saw something the other day that he would be the only MVP ever not in the Hall of Fame.
That's crazy too.
Other than guys still in the league. But which is, I guess part of me just thinks like if you were ever the best player in the league and theoretically best player in the world, then you should have a spot, but it's also like, it's so tough. I'm kind of conflicted too. I think it's...
Because I think if he didn't get his knees knocked out, I think he'd be in a Hall of Famer easily.
Dude, easily top 5 point guard ever. Because
he would have kept up the level that he was at, even not MVP level, just like all-star level for a few more years, I think he would have made it.
Absolutely.
But I don't know. It's hard to put him in there.
Yeah.
Just with like the short prime that he had, right?
That's so true. Yeah.
But I would say that most definitely he should get his number retired by the Chicago Bulls.
Oh, yeah.
I think that should definitely happen because, there's no doubt that he should have that number one hanging in the rafters there in the in Chicago.
Absolutely. What a great career. I've been seeing edits kind of making me a little emotional this week. Like, I really did grow up like loving this guy. So Derrick Rose was so awesome to watch when he was younger. Actually, overall, he's just a great player. So.
Do you remember any specific moments other than him getting injured, right?
Yeah.
Please don't say that. But of Derrick Rose that you remember, just any in general things that you liked about him?
Oh, man. I remember, I'm trying to think if it was the first year LeBron was back in Cleveland or maybe it was on his return to Cleveland, but that playoff series, I think it was game 3. Derrick Rose hits that like fadeaway right over LeBron buzzer beater 3 to win game 3. That's just so iconic.
Yeah, I love that.
Derrick Rose.
And I think one of the biggest highlights I remember, I can't remember who he dunked on, but he had this like two-handed back scratcher dunk.
It was a Suns player, but I can't remember.
Yes, I think it was. Yeah. That's my, when I think Derrick Rose, I think that dunk is just, he like, I was watching on the NBA posted like an hour and 30 minute highlight reel of Derrick Rose. I didn't get that far in it because it's a long highlight reel. But just every time he went to the hoop, it felt like he was floating.
Yeah.
Like he was just in the air for so long compared to other people. And that was really exciting to watch. So I would say that dunk for me.
I think I remember being so excited when he was "quote unquote" traded to the Jazz, and was that the Rodney Hood trade? I think it.
Yes, yeah, it was.
And that was like a trade and wave type of situation. So he was on the Jazz for a total of probably half an hour. But I remember being so excited because I was a big D Rose fan.
Is that also when we got Jay Crowder?
I think so.
I think so.
I think you're right.
And Jordan Clarkson, maybe even.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, that was. Anyways, I was so excited, but and then, you know, of course, it wasn't. He probably didn't want to play here. We didn't really want to pay him, so.
Yeah, and I guess you can't forget his 50-point game when he was on the Timberwolves.
Yeah, absolutely. His years in New York were huge. They weren't that good, but he just, like, you could tell he loves playing in New York. Yeah.
I think he was still averaging 20 at least 1 or 2 years.
Yeah, just whether he's in the Hall of Fame or not, a legend. Definitely left his footprint in that era here. So
yeah, we could go on. This is not a Derrick Rose podcast, though, but we love him. He's a great player.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, should we get into our list?
Let's do it.
Okay, so this what we're doing today, this should be like the title of the episode.
Yeah.
We are ranking the top 25 players in the NBA right now.
Yep.
As it stands. And I think I'll give some stipulations for this. One, this is a starting point to a conversation because we we're trying to make our lists, and we're both mentioning to each other, like, man, I don't know if this guy should go here or if he should go here, or like, all these guys are like pretty similar to me.
Yeah.
So like, our lists are so imperfect.
Yeah.
Especially, I don't know about yours, but mine definitely is. So like, this can be a start of a conversation. We'd love to like talk about different guys and where you feel like they should be. And then, yeah, give us some grace with our lists, because we definitely made some errors probably, or it's very subjective to your opinion.
Yeah, I think we talked a little about some of the sections of our top 25. Maybe there's like gaps between them, but I think the gaps between the sections are pretty thin, pretty like subject, like you said, subjective. So, we probably won't agree on everything, but it'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm interested. I know there's some guys that we definitely had different. So
yeah, maybe we start with. Did you have any like honorable mentions, guys, that were just your first off the list?
I had 6 honorable mentions.
Okay, interesting.
And I had De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis.
Ooh, yeah.
I really wanted to put one of them in there.
Yeah.
Just didn't happen, I guess. And I had Drew Holiday just because he had such a great year.
Oh, that's a good one.
And Trae Young, he's just a bucket. He's going to be the focal point of your offense. And then I had Bam Adebayo and Ja Morant. I just didn't put Ja Morant.
Interesting.
I didn't put Ja Morant because he only played 7 games. And so I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for him to start playing again before I put him back to where he was before.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, mine's pretty similar. I got Tyrese Maxey. I think he like balled out last year. Julius Randle, I think you could make an argument maybe towards the bottom. Cat also, I don't know.
Both the guys that got traded, yeah, okay.
Yeah, Sabonis, I totally agree with you on that stat guy. Zion, I struggled to know what to do with because I really do think Zion is really that talented, but it's yet to be seen in full effect, I think. And then this one might be a little more controversial, but I think a guy that's knocking on the door of top 25 is Chet. I really like Chet. I think he was going toe-to-toe with Wemby this last year. Little, you know, sneak peek. I think we probably both have Wemby on our list somewhere, probably.
Yep.
So I think Chet's knocking on the door. I won't put him in my top 25, but I think he's getting close.
I need more of him.
I agree.
I think, but I would probably put him top 40.
Yeah, definitely.
But
he's probably in our next 10, maybe, next 10, 15.
He probably would fit in there, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's go maybe 5 at a time.
Let's do it.
So who do you have for your, maybe we'll both do our 25s.
Okay. My number 25 is Bam.
Okay, so he made it.
Yeah. I think at his position, I think he's top 5. So it's hard for me to leave him out of my top 25.
Yeah, the center, like after the top couple centers, it drops off quite a bit to this list. But
for a really long time, I debated with people about whether he was better than Gobert, but I think we've reached the point where he's good enough offensively that he is better than Gobert. Maybe I'd probably still take Gobert like defensively a little bit, but
I think Bam really gives you something different where you can switch. Gobert can switch, but Bam's definitely got him beaten on that.
It's a whole different system, yeah. Right. Absolutely. Who's your 25?
I got Paul George at 25.
Okay. Nice.
He had a great season. He averaged 40% from 3. He played 74 games, which is uncommon for him, it seems like, the last couple of years. Just a great year from him. I'm excited to see how he does on the 76ers.
Yeah. Should we just go our next, like to 20 maybe?
Maybe we'll trade off.
Okay. I got Paolo next.
Hey, me too. 24.
We both have him at 24?
I have him at 24.
Let's go. That might be one of the only places we agree other than the top, probably.
that might be,
Yeah, great player. I'm excited to see what he does. The Magic could be pretty good this year, I think. So.
Yeah, and he's definitely improved a lot since last year. He became his all-star for the first time.
Yeah.
It's only up from here for him.
Absolutely. Next, I got Trae Young.
Yeah, he didn't make mine.
Okay, that's fair. I think Trae Young slept on a little as like a perimeter defender. Not like as far as he gets a lot of steals. Great 3-point shooter. I could see the logic for leaving him off, though. That's a he's kind of a tough one to grade, but I think he's a
22. He did average 25.7 a game and 10.8 assists.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's hard to go against those stats, but I mean, this defense is like really bad in the NBA. Yeah, so
it's pretty bad.
I had Lillard.
Dame? Okay.
At 23. Just even though he had a little bit of a down year for him is still 25 a game.
Yeah.
He played 73 games this year as well, kind of sneakily.
Yeah. So, I'm just realizing I left Dame off my list. And I'm kind of regretting it, but I also not. I'm not as high on Dame as I was maybe a season ago, but he probably would be in my honorable mentions, to be honest, I think.
Yeah, at least honorable mentions. At least honorable mentions.
Definitely.
Okay, 22.
Okay, I got Jimmy Butler.
Okay.
I think he's a dog. When he turns it on, last season was a little rough, I think, for him. Maybe a little bit of a down year, or it seems like it at least. But I still think he's talented enough to lead his team to some wins.
Yeah, I definitely think his impact doesn't show up just in the stats, too. Like, his intensity, at least regular season, sometimes it's not always there like we want it to be. But he does a lot of things outside of scoring the basketball, and he can score the basketball really well. So that adds value to me for him. I had Tyrese Halliburton at 22.
Okay.
Just a breakout year for him. He was the reason why the Pacers made it to the conference finals. Very good, probably a top three passer in the NBA right now. Maybe number one,
maybe
some
best,
people would say. And so I think that adds a lot of value to, in addition to his scoring, he's going to give you 10 assists tonight.
Yeah, I have him at 21, actually.
Okay, perfect.
I think
we kind of agree there, it seems, a little bit.
He's a little corny, so I think sometimes it's kind of hard to like get behind him. And he plays for the Pacers, so it's kind of whatever. But yeah, easily, I think, best passer in the league. Pretty good shooter, too.
Yeah.
If he can get better defensively, I think he could move up quite a few spots here. So.
Yeah, same with Banchero and him. This is kind of only up from here for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next, I guess we're at 21. You just gave yours. I put Kyrie Irving there. Kyrie Irving sneakily played a lot of games because he was injured for the first little while in the season. He came back. He still played like 50-something games and was amazing for them. I thought maybe Kyrie was going to take a step back this year offensively, but he still averaged like 25 a game. He didn't do as good in the playoffs, in the finals, as a lot of people hope, but during the regular season and most of the playoffs, he was still amazing. So he had to be on the list for me.
Absolutely. Okay, this one might be a little... I just realized I listed somebody twice, but this is a guy I think I can make an argument for. He's been injured, but I really love LaMelo Ball. That might be a really hot take. I have him next at 20. Is that where we're at, 20?
Yeah.
Yeah. I might move him down. I might have moved him down a little had I seen it before, but he would be in my top 25, I think.
Maybe he'd be like 24 or 25.
Yeah. Okay. I really do like LaMelo Ball. I think if he can get healthy, he'd be easily the best passer in the league, and he showed to be a really good scorer. I think he's going to be a perennial all-star if he can finally get healthy, but that's the question mark, I think. So,
yeah, he's driving go-karts
around. Yeah.
That was a funny video if you saw that one. Yeah. I got Zion Williamson at 20.
Okay, similar guy, kind of.
Yeah, I think only goes up from here for
Absolutely.
Zion, hopefully.
Yeah.
I was very impressed with what I saw in the playoffs from him, even in the time before he got injured.
Yeah.
Because he took over the game and was going to beat the Lakers.
Yeah.
He got injured and then they lost, right? And so if he's going toe-to-toe with LeBron, scoring 36 and nobody can stop him, imagine if this guy's healthy for a full year. He's probably in my top 10.
Yeah.
Like, or top 15. But just because of the injuries... not always being out there, he's a little bit lower.
Yeah. Dude, we really thought, like, he seemed like those once-in-a-generational type draftees.
He's supposed to lose some weight this offseason, too, so who knows?
We hear it every year, but hopefully it happens this year. Okay, next at 19, I've got Kawhi Leonard. I probably have him I think we talked about it. I think you probably have them a little lower than you do.
Yeah, but I've got them a lot higher.
I'm kind of weary of the game Kawhi Leonard plays, to be honest. Still a great player. Of course, I would take him on the Jazz, but I think he's moved down. He's apparently supposed to have knee injury and is going to miss a month of the first start of the season, which I don't know why he waited until September, October to get knee surgery and not when he got kicked off Team USA. But anyways, that's why I have him move down a lot. I think he's great, but is going to take a little step back this year.
Why I had him a little bit higher for me,
yeah,
is he still averaged 24 a game, played 68 games this year, which is more than a lot of other guys.
Yeah.
And he's shot 41% from three, which is normally his weakness. And so if he was like making his weakness a strength in his 3-point shooting this year, he's still able to do like his mid-range game. Kawhi Leonard's still an amazing defender.
Yeah.
Right? He's just got all the tools. And so I put him a little bit higher. You'll see where I put him in a little bit. But
that sounds good. Who's your 19?
Jimmy Butler. We talked about him. We kind of have him in about the same range, the lower 19 to 25 range.
Yeah. I feel like the gap between all these guys we've talked about so far is kind of...
not too big, yeah. Pretty thin. They're in the same range, yeah.
Pretty thin, yeah.
And then I guess we're at 18 now.
Yep. That's where I have Ja Morant.
Okay.
I'm a big Ja Morant fan. The off-the-court stuff is kind of the same with Kawhi for me. Like, I think Ja Morant could easily be a top 10 player. We saw the year before he was an all-star starter.
He has like a Derrick Rose type season.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Somehow he's like, I mean, I think Derrick Rose, but Derrick Rose is one of the most athletic point guards ever, but Ja Morant is...
He reminds even you of more. Him. He's got those flashes.
His jump ability is crazy. So I think he could be top 10. I'm kind of weary of all the, like, he just needs to stop with all the extra stuff, but I think he's pretty good.
Yeah. I would probably have put him on here just based off of last season, but I just need to, see him back at what he was before I put him back on.
Fair.
I got Tyrese Maxey right here.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, I don't think you had him on your list. Which
I feel
is
like
okay.
You and I switched Ja Morant and Tyrese Maxey from honorable mention to here.
Yeah, I think exactly that happened. Yeah. Tyrese Maxey had some great playoff moments.
Yeah.
He actually averaged like 25, 26 a game.
Yeah.
Top 15 points per game in the NBA. Played 70 games. He won the most improved player this last year. All-star, should have been all-star starter for some people. He was in that conversation at least.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he almost beat the Knicks with Embiid with like one leg.
Yeah.
He was doing his thing this last year. So I'm excited to see him adding Paul George to their team and that spacing. And that team's going to be really good.
So good. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. Staying on that note, I got Paul George next.
Okay.
Number 17. I'm excited to see what the Sixers do this year, even though I hate Joel Embiid. But
Troel Embiid.
Yeah. I think I always forget how good Paul George is, but every time I watch him, I'm just like in awe because that dude just plays like the most beautiful basketball. Like when he's in isolation, takes a couple of dribbles and just, oh, it's so beautiful. So I still think he's really talented. I'm going to keep him at 17.
I love it. He's getting up there in age, so maybe for him it's only down from here.
Yeah,
for
I can agree
some
with
of
that.
These other
this
guys,
might be
it's
his last
up.
Year on our list, I think, probably.
Maybe, yeah. He barely made my list this year.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe you have this guy at the same spot. What are we at, like 17?
I think that was my 17.
Oh,
yeah, Paul
I had,
George.
My 17 was Wembanyama.
Oh, okay.
He could arguably have gone higher. I just like didn't really know exactly where to put him.
Yeah.
But I think he's in like the middle. Yeah. Of the top 25 for sure. You could argue really anywhere between like 10 and 18. Yeah. But I put him here because we've only had 1 year of him where he's been like the best defender in the NBA immediately.
Yeah.
And his highlights are one of a kind.
Yeah.
And he can probably easily score 25 a game next season.
Oh, absolutely.
I think they were holding him back with minutes and he was still... dogging everybody.
Yeah, he's gonna have some help this year. Chris Paul gets people open,
right?
Requires some attention. Harrison Barnes just joined him. He's a he's going to stretch the floor a little bit.
Yeah, I'm definitely trying to go to Salt Lake to see Wembanyama play.
That'd be so fun. Yeah. Okay, we're at 16. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, my next one is Kyrie.
Okay, you had him a little bit higher.
Yeah, just a little bit. I think he's kind of the same story as John. Kawhi, great player. I wish we could just get rid of all the off-the-court stuff. That kind of makes him a little lower.
He's been better this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he's
been doing better. I think the Mavs have also handled him a lot better, which has been helpful for him.
And maybe he's grown a little bit, too.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. But still, in my opinion, the best isolation player in the NBA can go get a bucket against anybody. So that's why I'll put him at 16.
Oh, yeah. Definitely one of the best one-on-one players.
Yeah, absolutely.
On this list. I got Donovan Mitchell.
Ooh, okay.
Right here. I put Donovan Mitchell higher initially, and I realized that I tried to be as real as possible, and I think I had some bias, so I put him down just a little bit. I want to put him higher, but this is a great spot for Donovan Mitchell still.
Yeah,
like
I could agree.
Borderline top 15 player in the NBA.
Yeah.
Scoring machine, can do it all on offense. His defense is pretty solid as well.
Yeah, yeah, that puts him borderline all NBA as well.
Right, I think that's about right for him.
That's actually, I have him at 15. You have him at 16?
Yeah.
I have him at 15. Kind of the same thing. I think my biggest question mark, I think Donovan Mitchell is one of the most talented players in the NBA, scoring-wise. But I just, like, the biggest question mark to me is, like, does he contribute to winning? Because I think it's been, like, his teams are just, like, not that good.
It's hard for him to be the number one guy.
I think so.
I think if he was the number two guy, they would be a championship team.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. If he was the D-Wade to a LeBron or something, I think that would be really good for him. But I don't think you can... If you watch Donovan Mitchell, you can't deny that he's a top 15, top 16 player. Like, he's...
Right.
Yeah, he's incredible.
Right, and we are pulling hairs, especially in this range of the list.
Absolutely.
I had 15, or was it 15 or 16?
15, yeah.
I had Anthony Davis.
Oh, okay.
Right here. Maybe a little bit lower than you did. I don't know where you had him.
Yeah.
But I've got him a little bit lower. He's getting a little older in age, and his jump shot's not where it used to be. If he was able to hit the jump shot, I'd probably put him top 10.
Yeah.
But, I mean, again, pulling hairs. I just wish I saw a little bit more from him on offense, but his defense was amazing this year. Couldn't have asked for anything more. And he still played pretty well offensively, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. What are we on? Number 14?
14.
Okay. All right, let me fix my list a little, because I just realized when you said that what I messed up when I did double, because I spelled Anthony Davis wrong, so I thought that was double. So let me fix my list. My 15, I'm kicking LaMelo Ball off my list.
Okay,
my 15, Donovan Mitchell's 16. Everybody else is one lower. I have 15 at Devin Booker.
Okay,
I think him and Donovan Mitchell, same tier. Really, I don't know who I would pick if I was drafting a team.
Especially after this year, they were pretty similar.
Yeah, and then my 14, where we're at now, that's where I have Wemby. But okay. I think we kind of agree that he's like within that range, middle of top 25. Yeah. It's like super hard not to be like, this guy's top five, because he looks so crazy.
Yeah, you could.
But
some people would think you're wild.
Yeah,
but
it's a little overreaction.
I wouldn't consider not doing that. I might do it next year. We'll
maybe
see.
Maybe next year he might be in our top one or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But that's my 14.
Okay, my 14 was Kawhi Leonard.
Oh,
we already
okay.
talked about.
Yeah.
We already talked about. I had him a little bit higher than you did.
Yeah.
Same as the reasons we talked about before.
Yeah. Absolutely. Totally agree. Okay. So it brings us to 13. This is where I have Jalen Brunson.
Okay.
I think that this part of the list where we're getting is kind of where we probably is like the craziest to try to decide. Jalen Brunson's just a dog.
Was he a lock for top 15 for you?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, I'd say so too.
I really think he could be higher. I just had a hard time putting him over all the guys ahead of him. That's really the only reason I have him that low, I guess.
Okay.
That's pretty high, but you know, that low.
I had him a little bit higher.
Yeah,
We'll see where I put him in a second.
Yeah.
It just, for me, this was the best year I could have ever expected from Jalen Brunson.
That's true.
And going into the season, no one thought he was going to do this.
No.
And he kind of had like a Derrick Rose level season.
Yeah.
Like what we wanted from Ja Morant next year. So if I don't know if he's going to be able to do this again year in and year out, but if he plays at that level, he is maybe him and Curry and Luka or Shea. Those are the top point guards in the NBA. He's in that conversation with Steph.
Yeah.
With when he's doing that kind of thing. So
absolutely.
But okay. At my 13, I had Jaylen Brown.
Okay, nice.
So Jaylen's I'm sure there. Maybe I don't know where you had him, but he's definitely top 15 lock for me as well.
Yeah. Yeah, he's my 12, I think.
Okay.
So right in the same area. I actually struggled to put him. Obviously, we're both going to have Tatum on our list too. I struggled to put him below Tatum just because of how the finals went. But yeah, he could easily be a number one option on a really good team, I think. But it
maybe not
better.
A championship team.
Yeah.
But they would probably be a solid playoff team.
I think
if
you
he
could build
one.
Something nice around him, but
come to Utah.
That's right. Yeah. Him and Lowry could play really well together, I think. But
yeah.
Pels right.
So we had him about the same range. Yeah.
Who's your 12?
My 12 was Devin Booker.
Okay. Nice.
So not far off from where you had him. He just, he's had a great year. Olympics also added some value to Devin Booker. For me, it kind of showed more to his game than just being a bucket.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. 11's where I have Jason Tatum.
Oh, wow. That's a lot lower than me.
Yeah.
I think I had him like 6.
6. I just don't know. I don't really know what to do with Tatum. I feel like there's times that he just looks really good and times like in the finals where he just like not that. He wasn't bad, but just wasn't like superstar. So I guess that's where I have him at 11. I just don't really know what to do with him right now.
His stats from last year, he averaged 27 a game, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 37% from 3, which is pretty good. Played 74 games, 6th in MVP voting.
Dang.
All NBA first team.
Yeah. Dang.
But
okay.
Yeah, we're a little different. I still like what I get from Tatum. In the playoffs, he wasn't like scoring as well as a lot of people wanted from him. But I think when you're winning games, you do what you need to do to win the game.
Yeah.
And so I think he could have selfishly boosted his stats, but he did what he needed to do to win the games. And I do agree with you. I do think sometimes he is a little bit overrated with some of the guys around him, but he is still probably a top 10 or around that range player right now. Definitely.
Absolutely.
I had Anthony Edwards right here.
Okay.
At 11, right?
Yeah.
I think he did solidify himself, at least at this current moment, as the number one shooting guard in the NBA.
Yeah.
But it's really close between him, Booker, and Mitchell.
Yeah.
But I put him as the number one shooting guard just because of the playoff run, the dunk on John Collins, unfortunately, the Jordan comparisons this whole year, right? He's just doing all these great things this past year, and we'll challenge him to do it again next year.
Yeah, I totally agree. We talked a little bit about Anthony Edwards before. The thing is, thinking about it as I made my list, like the top 10 is just like razor thin. It really is. Like, it's so crazy trying to make a top 10.
You know somebody's feelings are going to get hurt.
Yeah. I have Anthony Edwards quite a bit higher, but...
So maybe we kind of flip Tatum and Edwards then.
Yeah, but I don't think it's really that different to say like 10 or wherever I have him. Like, right. It's just, you're splitting hairs here. So what are we at, 10 right now?
10.
Okay, 10's where I have Anthony Davis, I think.
Okay, quite a bit higher, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. I think you could make, an argument one of the best rim protectors in
if not the best.
NBA.
Him and Gobert probably number one and number two.
Absolutely. So, and an incredible scorer. We forget how good of a scorer he is. So, I'll keep him at 10.
Yeah, he's definitely dropped off a little bit on the offense side, but his defense is still like absolutely elite, best in the league. I had Jalen Brunson at 10.
Okay,
this is as high as I could put him because I was really high on Brunson. This is as high as I could put him without like thinking like maybe I'm put him too high.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. But for same reasons we talked about earlier, he just had the best season he could possibly have had.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm gonna say my next three guys all together because I really just think like I could have put these guys in any order, these three.
Okay.
KD, I have KD at 9, LeBron at 8, and Curry at 7.
Okay, I've got the same three.
The same three?
But different order.
Different order.
I got Durant at 9, Curry at 8, and LeBron at 7.
Yeah. I don't hate that. I really think you could put them in any order. It just really depends on the night with their age. Like, Curry just has some games that are so out of this world. LeBron's still doing things at his age that's just, like, mind-blowing. And KD's a 7-footer that shoots better than anybody in NBA history, probably. Like, it's just so... It's crazy that we're still talking about these guys.
Yeah, as I think it's good that they're all in the same spot.
Yeah.
They're all top 10 players.
Absolutely.
Absolute lock for me. I think LeBron, if I had to pick one of these guys to win me a game, I'm picking LeBron. Even at his old 100%. Age. It depends. Like, Curry could hit some clutch shots. He did that in the Olympics. But if I'm trying to win a game, I'm still going to pick LeBron. So that's why I put him at the top of the three. But, I mean, they're all so great.
Yeah, I could totally agree with that. I think LeBron needs less help than those two. Well, that's hard to make that argument, I guess, with how bad the Lakers have been. But Curry just needs a lot of, like, off-ball help to get open, even though he's running around, like, all the time.
It's definitely boosting his game a lot to have Draymond Green.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so I think you could really do any order on there. That's totally true. So I guess that takes us to 6, unless you have anything else to say about those
guys. I'm guessing this is where you... Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm guessing this is where you had Edwards.
Almost. This is actually where I had Shea.
Oh, okay. Why Shea at 6?
Me and you were talking about this before, whether Anthony Edwards is better than Shea. Because Anthony Edwards is at my 5. I will say that. I do think this one's a tough one. Both of them kind of had similar seasons last year. Shea got more attention MVP-wise, but both of them led young teams to, like, a lot of success. You know, the Thunder were the number one seed in the West, right? Did they finish number one?
Mm-hmm. They were number one. I think the Timberwolves were number 2.
Yeah, and they went to the conference finals. So I just like Anthony Edwards' games a little better. I think he's a little bit better of a defender. Shea's probably a little bit more of an efficient shooter. Actually, probably a lot, not a lot, but quite a bit better shooter. So I don't know.
I'll compare their stats right here. How about that?
Sure.
Shea averaged 30, Edwards 26.
Mm-hmm.
6 assists for Shea, 5 assists for Edwards. Shea was a slightly, barely better free throw shooter. A little bit more efficient from the field. They shot the same from 3-point as well, 35% for both of them. Even care about reboundings. They averaged the same rebounds. Yeah. So, I mean, really the only big difference is Shea averaged more points a game. He was getting more 30-point games throughout the season. And his team finished higher.
Yeah.
I do have Shea a little bit higher. I have him at 4 on my list.
Oh, so that's actually interesting. Okay.
You'll see who I had below him.
I thought maybe our top 4 would be the same, but maybe not.
Yeah, you're
wrong.
That's
interesting.
I had Tatum at 6.
Okay.
Like we kind of already talked about earlier.
Yeah.
We kind of flipped Edwards and Tatum on our list
a little bit. Yeah.
And then at 5, I had Joel Embiid.
Oh, okay. He's my 4. Yeah. So
okay, so we also flipped a little bit in the
5 and 4.
But I put Embiid a little bit lower because he didn't play the full season. And during the time that he did play, that was probably the best I've seen from him, even better than his MVP season.
Yeah.
But like I don't know if he's back at that level right away off the injury, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I could have put him higher, but I put Shea above him.
Dang, that's fair. Okay. So our top 3 is going to be the same guys. I know that.
So you had Shea at 6.
I got Shea at 6. Anthony Edwards at 5.
And then Embiid at 4. Why'd you have Embiid at 4?
When he's healthy, I think you could argue when he's healthy, he's the most dominant player.
Because I know you're an Embiid hater, right?
I am. But you can't deny he's like one of the most dominant players in the NBA. Like he averaged like 40 points a game in last December.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with Kawhi where I just get really frustrated with how...
He shoots threes better than most guards.
Yeah, his injuries, and then he complains like everybody hates him or something, but he's like literally injured. Anyways, so that's kind of why he gets a little hate. But
I think a big reason why he gets hate too is I think he leads the league by three more than every other player in free throws made a game.
Yeah.
He averages 10 free throws made a game last year.
The prime James Harden thing.
Yeah. Giannis is the only other one that averages 10 free throws made a game. So some people like think that he's a foul baiter and they don't love that. But when he's this dominant in the paint, that's sometimes the only thing you can do.
When you're a 7-footer, it's hard not to foul him. I don't know how I would guard him without fouling him.
And he's an 88% free throw shooter. Yeah. So you don't want to foul him either.
No. It's not a Hack-a-Shaq thing.
No.
Yeah. It's crazy. Okay, so at three, that gives me... This is where I put Luka.
Me too.
Okay. Man, I mean, he's incredible, dude. All three of these top guys are like top
tier.
Cream
of the crop, right? Yeah. That's why they're up here.
I don't even feel like I needed to justify it. Luka is just incredible. I don't think he's better than the other two guys, but...
I think he should have won MVP last year.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
I don't think... Everyone agrees with me.
Yeah.
Maybe you do. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think he should have won MVP last year, and the playoffs proved it as well. He played really well in the playoffs with like a really hurt knee.
Yeah.
So he's tough. I just don't want him to complain as much this year about the foul calls. And I think that will actually help him perform better.
Yeah.
If he doesn't worry about the complaining. Averaged seven free throws a game too, so he's foul baiting a little bit too.
Yeah.
So
so that brings us to two. We might have a different 2-1 because I know you love one of these guys a lot. But I got Giannis at two.
Yes, I got Giannis at two as well.
Oh, okay, nice.
I did want to put him at number one. Yeah,
I know you're a closeted Bucks fan a little, so
I do have a Giannis jersey in my closet right now.
Dude, Giannis is honestly like before the Nuggets thing, I would have had Giannis at one. Before their championship. I know the Bucks won one too, but...
Do you think Giannis can take that number one spot this year? What does he have do to take that number one spot this year?
Dude, I legit think he... I think he could. I mean, I think the thing with him and Dame's going to have to work out a lot better this year. The team success thing's the biggest
part. They got to win 60-plus games again.
Yeah.
He's got to be 33 a game again.
Yeah. I wonder if he plays really well this season. I wonder if the voter fatigue has worn off. Because for a while, it kind of seemed like people were just tired of voting for him. Because he won that back-to-back. And then the next year, he played even better than the year before when he won the MVP. And he didn't even, like, he wasn't even in the top three or something. And it's like, just voter fatigue. But it makes me wonder, will we eventually get that with Jokic and Giannis will get back in the conversation?
Maybe. It's also interesting. His team didn't perform as well this year, so I think that hurt him.
Definitely.
Because Shea was second in MVP.
Yeah.
And Luka was number three in MVP, and their teams were maybe a little bit better than Giannis's this past year. So I think you just really Giannis's stardom or level kind of depends on how good the Bucks do as well.
Oh, absolutely.
So...
Well, then that brings us to number one, Bol Bol. I'm just kidding.
No, didn't you have Keontae George?
Yes. So Keontae, no.
He's a great player. No, we got Jokic.
Dude, I saw a press conference the other day, Jokic sporting the like goatee. Did you see that?
Oh, no.
No,
dude,
I
didn't
see
like
that. He's got like a new look. You'll have to go look at it. But there's no reason he should be number one. Just like looking at the guy, like what in the world, dude? Mm-hmm. Nikola Jokic is just so insane. Like, he doesn't even look like a basketball player, really, other than being 7 feet tall. Like, but he's so talented.
You know what's crazy? He almost averaged a triple-double this year.
That's so crazy.
He averaged 12.4 rebounds, which, unless I'm missing somebody, I think that led the NBA in rebounds.
Yeah.
And, not quite. He was fourth in rebounds because Sabonis averaged like 14 rebounds a game. Insane. And he also was top three. He was number three in assists. So like, I don't think there's any other players. Maybe Luka's the only other one because he almost average triple double as well. Yeah. That are top five in rebounds and top five in assists and like top 10, 15 in scoring.
Dang.
It's just crazy. I don't know how he does it. He's so slow. Yeah. He doesn't jump very high.
It's like zero athleticism.
Yeah, and then somehow he's just like a super computer passer out there. He makes it all work. What do you think Jokic needs to do this year to prove himself? Or do you think he just did that already?
I mean, it's hard to argue with, what, has he had three MVPs now in the last 5 years?
I think so, yeah.
It's hard to... I mean, the dude could retire today and be in the Hall of Fame, I think. I don't even know if he's got anything left to prove. I don't think the Nuggets will do it again unless there's some changes in their roster. I don't think that they could be a championship team again, but...
I mean, who knows? Jokic always gives you a chance.
Yeah.
Definitely a much better chance than most teams just That's having true. Him on your team. So
That's true.
But he's at number one. That's finishes out our list.
Yeah.
Let us know where you would have your list. If there's some guys, if you had Anthony Edwards higher than I did, or you had him high, or where you'd have Shea, or we really wish we could put Laurie on this list. Yeah. He should be an honor. Actually, Laurie needs to be an honorable mention, right? Yeah. We'll put him in honorable mentions now. But
I think Lowry's on the cusp of, he could be knocking on the door soon. He's going to have to do some more, I think, but. Well, he's not far off. He's not far off.
I think if Lowry's going to crack this top 25 after this year, he's going to have another big jump, because he had that most improved player jump, but maybe he needs to have like another jump to where he's not just an off-ball player anymore, but he's
absolutely.
Like the focal point of our offense. He's maybe passing a little bit more. And I don't know if he'll be able to do that this year, but...
yeah. Eventually, maybe.
He could make a jump this year, and he could end up being on the list next year if that's Absolutely. The case.
Yeah. A couple of local sports things. That BYU-Kansas State game was crazy. We were both there. We joined the Blue Crew. It was pretty awesome.
Let's go. In the background of Sports Nation.
Easily the craziest game I've ever been to. Craziest BYU game I've ever been to. I don't know about you. That was loud.
Yeah, it was the loudest student section I've been in.
Yeah.
Just every single play went right. It was felt like Madden was being played out there, just because we're playing Kansas State on like freshman mode.
Yeah. Momentum is everything in
really
sports.
Good. Oh yeah. And then you sent me this on post, but something about Kansas State's like microphones or their headsets.
Yeah, they was so loud. They were trying to switch to ones that had two ear coverings, but they didn't have enough for their entire staff because they couldn't hear each other. And it's just like, it's so cool when
That's
you can
so
be a
crazy.
Part of something like that, you know? Like, we have, here in the state of Utah, I know Utah's fans get crazy too. We have some of the best fans. The Jazz, when the Jazz are doing well, their stadium gets pretty loud. The Delta Center gets pretty loud. We just have the best people here in Utah, I think, sports. It's
We get really into it here in Utah. And so, actually, I don't know if you're looking at the score right now, but BYU's playing Baylor as 7-0. We're recording this podcast. Yeah, they're up 7-0.
Yes, sir.
On the road, the first road test BYU will have. So we're hoping for a win, and definitely exceeded my expectations for this year already. I didn't know if BYU would be this good. So
yeah, Jake Retzlaff thrown for 70 yards on the first drive is crazy.
Wow.
I'll take that. So,
yeah.
But other firsts, Utah Hockey Club, first game at the Delta Center. Spicy Tuna got in his first fight. The first fight of Utah Hockey Club history.
Is that your favorite player now?
I think so, dude. I think it's kind of cool how he's embraced Utah. I'm excited. I think I might go with the package to be able to watch their games once regular season starts, so I'm
I think
excited.
Their games are also on Fox 13.
Oh, are they? Okay.
At least I saw a billboard a couple months ago that said they would be.
Yeah,
so
that's cool.
As long as you got Fox 13, you could probably get them too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think TJ Ginla is going to be my guy.
Let's go.
He's our lottery pick. So
yeah, absolutely.
He's one of the few guys I know his name really well.
Yeah, he's got a sick name too.
I'm always forgetting his name, but the defender we got from the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah.
Dude. I followed him on Instagram, so I'll see his posts.
Well, thank you all so much for joining us on our episode today. Like Andrew said, let us know what you think of our list, what you think of Jazz Extending Will Hardy, all these things. Don't forget to check out our past posts. You can find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Instagram at Tuned In Jazz. You can find everything there. So we hope that you have a great week. Take care.
Peace.